Last week I watched George Osborne give evidence to the Treasury Select Committee on his budget delivered on 21st March. I thought that the level of debate was banal and inane, and Osborne cited an example showing that the relief cap he was introducing at 50,000 was justified. The example he used was of an individual with income of 10 million and a loss claim of 5 million, charitable relief of 4 million, and qualifying loan interest of 1 million. Not a very credible example, but the worrying thing here is he seems to be using this to show that a commercial loss exceeding 50,000 is going to have the relief restricted on it. That's wrong in principle. Watch the finance bill and lobby. He was also questioned about when he last ate a pasty from Greggs. Really, that is a very poor level of debate. And what worries me is that the consideration of a complex finance bill at 670 pages is at best superficial and being made by politicians who don't really understand the administration and complexity. Because enforcing compliance on things like the hot pie change is going to be difficult. Are your clients ready for online VAT filing? They need to be, because from April 2012, it's mandatory for everyone. I was also appalled at the sheer amount of consultation, and I've included in the notes which accompany this podcast a link to the HMRC consultation tracker, which runs to 5 pages, and it confirms to me there's too much change and too much consultation when what we really need is stability and certainty. The finance bill adds to that problem at 670 pages. How, why do we need such legislation? If we've got a self-assessment regime, can we really expect ordinary taxpayers to read this voluminous, complex material? It's madness. This needs to stop. Because HMRC are making mistakes all over the place. And I've cited 2 cases. The first is Natasha Bell, who failed to file her employer end of year return, but immediately admitted on being notified in the September following that it was oversight, paid the £100, and the appeal was about the excess, where she said it was pure oversight, and the court, Kevin Poole being the judge, just looked at the paper submissions and said he's looked at the question of the doctrine of proportionality, a human rights issue, and he has decided that the imposition of the penalty is not disproportionate. Now, it shouldn't have got to appeal. HMRC should have stopped this, but having got to appeal, you know, the judge really should be asking other issues, such as, was there a violation of the taxpayer's human right in failing to notify promptly that an offence or a default had occurred? In fairness to HMRC, they announced 2 weeks ago that they were introducing new procedures and would now notify employer defaulters quicker. But this case should still not have been allowed to get to a tribunal. And in fairness to the tribunal, he does say at paragraph 17 of the decision that if the upper tribunal upholds the Hawke and related appeals, then the taxpayer should have 90 days to appeal. And in the meantime, HMRC should take no steps to enforce the outstanding £400. The sad truth is, HMRC should never have brought this appeal. It is a disgrace, and it's quite unacceptable and wrong. But it gets worse, because I've also summarised the Bell Chambers decision. And in that case, Mr. Bell Chambers had retired after 23 years as a hairdresser. And then he faced an end-of-year filing penalty, when in fact it's the successor who is due to make the end-of-year return. And that's quite clear from Regulation 102. There was a case which I summarised a few months back, Jill Harmsworth, where HMR similarly were pursuing a penalty from a lady who had sold her business and was not actually the person responsible for the return. I hope that HMRC apologised to Mr. Bell Chambers, but what I do question is how they can keep making such mistakes. And frankly, it's not acceptable that HMRC make mistakes like this and pursue people when they've got the wrong person and they're pursuing a penalty, which, as a matter of human rights, the onus lies in them to show they have the evidence and that the penalty is correct. And here's two examples where they shouldn't have been doing it. We live in interesting times and challenging positions. Don't accept a penalty if it's not due. Thanks for listening.